PM, and we will get this meeting started. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Here.
Councilmember Christensen?
Here.
Council President Boobin Vanderhaar?
Here.
Councilmember McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And for the invocation, we have Jim Bolin. If you would come up and everybody rise for that, and then we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Before we begin, I want to thank you guys. I thank this council for what you do for CUNA. And I know I'm praying tonight, but it's not the only time that I pray and others pray for you guys and the decisions you make. You're making decisions for the betterment of this community, and I want to thank you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you tonight for this evening, this group that is here. I know there are decisions, things on the agenda that will have impact on this community. And I pray, Lord, that all that is decided here will be to the betterment of this community, for the citizens of CUNA. And I would pray, Lord, that you'll help each one that has a part to carry out the decisions to the best of their ability. Guide us in our thoughts. Help this meeting to be one where whatever is discussed in a way that honors your name. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Tim.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. The first item is the consent agenda. Any additions, deletions, discussions, or motions?
I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. That will take us right into public hearings. 6A is a public hearing in consideration to approve 19-04-ZC rezone for the CUNA Rural Fire District. Jace Hellman.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Jace Hellman, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. The application before you this evening is for the rezone of a property that's located on the southwest corner of South Cloverdale Road and East CUNA Road from its current classification of agriculture to public. At this time, there's no development that is planned for the site, and the rezone would create a parcel that is zoned appropriately if they wish to develop in the future. The applicant's proposed rezone application is compliant with CUNA's comprehensive plan and the future land use map, and staff has determined this rezone is compliant with CUNA City Code, and with that, I'll stand for any questions you guys might have.
Okay, questions for Jace. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, sir. This is a public hearing, so we'll go ahead and open the public hearing. I don't see that anyone has signed up on this issue. Is there anybody who wished to testify on this issue and didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay. Well, seeing none. Action is before council. It looks like, so this is one of the things that will help for the CUNA Rural Fire District to get some more property for possibly a second station, and if needed, it... at some point it will be. Whether or not that's going to be the exact location of station number 2, we don't know, but it certainly is moving in a right direction, and then with the impact fees, they'll help to build a station someday. So, looks like a great location for it if that's what they decide to do.
You look like you're going to say something, Rich. No?
No.
Okay. They want to step on your toes. Well, it looks like everything applies with the comp plan and city code. Obviously, nobody showed up to express any other concerns or anything, so everything looks in order to me. If there's no discussion or anything else, I move the approve 1904ZC, as well as the findings of fact and conclusions of law and the order of decision as presented in the packet. And also, that as part of my motion, the public hearing is closed as well.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve 1904ZC and the findings of facts, conclusions of law, and to also close the public hearing on this item. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And that motion carried. Thank you, Chief Roberts. Item 6B, public hearing and consideration to approve 1903-ZC rezone and 1905-S subdivision for Athleta subdivision. Troy?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. Just for the record, Sherby Union, Manor 3, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA Planning and Zoning Department. This project that's before you tonight, as the mayor has read, 19-03 ZC rezone and 1905-S preplat, the Athleta subdivision has actually taken on a few different names over the years. This project has been in the works for more than 3.5 years. With at least two different landowners, and but it has been going on. I have been discussing this project, this piece of ground, for more than 3.5 years with an applicant. Tonight's applicant, the Epic Development LLC, they're requesting a rezone from the commercial neighborhood district to the high density zone, residential zone, R20. 3.5 years ago, the original owner wanted to pursue a project that at the time was an outright allowed use, and they wanted to bring 63 units of multifamily housing to this in the form of fourplexes on this same piece of ground. During the course of time and through counter visits and with just the way that things go, we had a lot of discussions with the applicant and with both of the landowners. There was also a change to city code in February of this year that you folks passed, which does not allow fourplexes to be in a commercial zone any longer. The applicant, after and in between some of our many meetings with the applicant, in late November or early December of last year, they decided that they would like to choose and pursue a different product. In between the meetings, the idea was conceived to bring a different type of product that is unique to CUNA, and it would be the first of its kind. The developer brought back to staff a for-sale small lot subdivision of connected single-family homes. It's basically a townhome project. Each of these homes are intended to be sold just like single-family homes in a regular subdivision that many people live in. The applicant is proposing a preliminary plat in order to have them to be able to be sold individually. And like I said, it will function just like every other subdivision that's in CUNA and around the nation for that matter. The project is only 4.14 acres in size. It's very small. The applicant is proposing the R20 designation, which would allow them to put this townhome product in. At 16.17 dwelling units per acre, the proposed gross density is under the allowed 20 dwelling units per acre maximum. When you take away the roads and the other required elements of the project, you have what's called net land or net density. The net density for this project would be around 13.9. That's after you take everything out, the roads and everything. The Athleta subdivision is proposing nearly 25% open space, and they are proposing some additional off-street parking, which is unique. The off-street parking will be in addition to the two spots in the garages and the two spots on the driveways that each of the units will also have. They are also proposing a gazebo, some walking paths for the residents, a dog park, and other usable open space elements for the residents. they are proposing private streets, private roads, and all of the agencies that have responded and have attended the meetings, all of them have supported this product. If the applicant had come in at this time last year, they would have been able to put in their fourplex units because fourplexes were actually allowed straight out in their commercial zone, and it would have been allowed. But through discussions with staff, the numerous discussions with staff, they ultimately decided that they wanted to do something different, a good and lasting impression, and a very unique and needed product for housing to CUNA. What you have before you tonight is that change to their product. The applicant is proposing that each of these buildings will contain a minimum of 4 units per building and as many as 7. I will let the applicant really go into the details on that, but that would end my report. I just want to let you know that this project does comply with CUNA City Code. It complies with the comprehensive plan, and it does comply with the future land use map that you folks also approved. And I would stand for any questions that you might have.
Okay, questions for Dora? Thank you. I don't have any name on here, so I know who you are, but you didn't sign in and it's not on the agenda for you, so I don't know.
I apologize, Mayor. Typically, the applicant gets an opportunity to speak without the sign up, but Jane Suggs, WH Pacific, representing the Athleta subdivision. Again, apologies. I will sign that. I think Troy provided a really good summary of the project. This does have quite a bit of history, including working with other developers and other engineering firms like ourselves. But when it came to us the first time, it was with a developer who wanted to do the fourplexes. And there are a lot of fourplexes just south of this property that are being done by CBH Homes. I just want to highlight a few items. I'm pretty excited that we're actually bringing something that's very, quite unique, not to the valley certainly, but in CUNA. This project was approved by design review in April, and also the rezone and the plat were recommended for approval by your P&Z in August. We're pretty excited to show you why P&Z thought this was a very innovative product and they wanted to have approval of this. So we're going to put up the first slide that I submitted. There you go. This is a rendering of the landscape plan. As Troy mentioned, one of the conditions of the DR approval was to rezone the property at the time of preliminary plat, and that is what we're doing today. The rezone from C1 to R20 meets your comprehensive plan for the property. Next slide, please. Okay, so here is a portion of your future land use map. You can see where the 10-mile road, where the road is, that's the property. It's in orange, and that is high-density residential. By definition, in your code, R20 is a residential zone that should occur with direct access to an arterial or collector roadway, and 10-mile road, of course, is an arterial, and can be serviced by municipal water, sewer, and irrigation. And we have all of those readily available to the property. As Roy explained, and as I mentioned before, the site was originally planned for fourplex housing. Like those fourplexes across the street, you can see all those little dots are fourplexes in each one of those little smaller lots across the street. After meeting with the city, we decided to explore this opportunity of attached townhome housing. There's an aerial is the next spot, I think. There we go. This is a kind of an aerial view of the property. The street in front on the bottom of the slide is Crenshaw. Over to the right is 10 miles, so we're kind of taking a little different view. This type of home will allow individual for purchase housing that will allow home builders to build equity in their homes and wealth, so each one of these units will be for sale to individuals. And as I discussed with the PNZ, this wealth building, I think of as one of the steps, and when we talk about the American dream, it's hard to build that wealth and that equity whenever you're renting. And so this is a good opportunity to actually own a smaller home that doesn't have a lot of maintenance attached to it. We all know that housing prices are increasing in CUNA and throughout the Treasure Valley, and these increases are kind of making that proverbial single-family home with the picket fence almost unreachable for a lot of people. And this is another opportunity where you might find housing for singles, couples, or small families. This townhome might be a first purchase. It might be a downsize for an older couple. Or it might just be a low-maintenance option for someone who wants to live in CUNA but doesn't want to maintain a large yard. I've got a couple of elevations to show you. Next slide, please. These are the four units. You can see the fronts, the sides. On these units, the side units have side entries, so the lots are a little bit larger. So you can see that each one has a two-car garage. And leading up to the two-car garage is a space that's 20 feet deep and at least 20 feet wide for parking for two vehicles. So that's how we make sure we meet the parking requirements that you have. Actually, we surpass the parking requirements that you need to have. They're Craftsman-style homes, and each home will feature two bedrooms and two baths, or some of them actually have three bedrooms and two baths. And, of course, best of all, that two-car garage. We are certainly meeting the code requirements for the parking. There's another elevation shown. And this is what it would look like when you have six of those single units stacked up. Again, the property lines running through the walls, like you see townhomes before all over the valley. This type of home mixes well with the surrounding development, as we recall from that last slide showing the comprehensive plan area. You have standard single-family homes in Crimson Point. You have standard single-family homes across the street in Palomar, and also this new subdivision called Cazador, which is just north of Palomar. And then you have the for-rent homes that are across the street. So what a great mix that you have standard single-family homes, you have these smaller single-family homes that are attached, and you have some rental opportunities all in the same neighborhood. One more slide, please. This is a cropped out picture of the preliminary plat because it doesn't have our title block and everything on it. The property is 4.1 acres and we're proposing 57 single family attached townhomes. And as Troy mentioned, that's a gross density of 14 dwelling units per acre, which is right in the middle of your comp plan designation of 8 to 20 dwelling units per acre according to your new comprehensive plan. There is one entrance into the property and it's on the north side. That allows plenty of separation from Crenshaw Street, which you can see on this plan is on the south side of the property. The second access that you see is for emergency vehicles only and will be bollard off. So it will be accessible to people who want to walk, but it will be for emergency vehicles. It's a little too close to Crenshaw to use as a regular access. And that is an arterial, so ACHD has some specific requirements on how many accesses you can have on an arterial street. Next slide, please. Each of the homes will face either 10 Mile to the east, Crenshaw to the south, the common open space. You'll see some of those homes are actually facing that little open space in the middle, the little park area. Some of the homes will face to the north, and they'll face the rural properties that are to the north and rural properties to the west. The smaller living spaces, of course, means that we should have well-planned common areas. The central open space includes a top lot and a picnic pavilion, plus 8 guest parking spaces. You can see those along sort of the south side of that open space. There's also a separately fenced-off dog park planned along the south, and then these passive open spaces. And then one of the features that's kind of interesting is we have a sidewalk that loops around the entire property. Now, that sidewalk provides access to the front doors of the homes, but it also provides a really nice loop for people to walk. All the common open spaces will have significant landscaping that enhances these common open spaces and the amenities. We had a really well-attended neighborhood meeting back in April, a nice gathering with some of the neighbors. Actually, after the P&Z meeting, we got a chance to talk outside. The neighbors did explain that they had some concerns with keeping, these are the neighbors to the north and the west that have rural properties. They are zoned RUT in the county. They explained that they had some concerns with keeping the kids from the development out of their property, and also keeping their animals that are on their property from coming into the subdivision. So it makes sense that one of our requirements that came out of P&Z was to put up two fences. So we'll have the vinyl fences as normal, but right beside, behind the vinyl fences and on the rural side, we'll have a metal fence, and it'll be a no-climb fence, and it'll be a way to keep you from popping out those vinyl panels, and it'll also keep the animals from coming in. So we've updated, this is an updated landscape plan from the one that P&Z saw, because we were also asked to provide some additional landscaping. So we submitted this to the city to show that we want to go ahead and have a note about the fences and also show some evergreen and some deciduous trees before our landscape plan just had kind of a fence. So now we have trees in that small space that's between the home and the fence there. We also have agreed to inform buyers that they are purchasing a home next to active farmland. That seemed to be a concern too, and we've run into that before, and I know you have too. As you know, there are state codes like the Right to Farm Act that address this concern, but we agree that the purchasers really need to know that they're buying next to a rural area, and there's some sights and smells and odors and sounds even that can be a surprise sometimes. So we want to make sure, I've already reached out to one of the title companies to see what kind of documents they will allow in the closing documents. You know, you sign 17 or maybe it's 170. It seems like every time you buy a house, you'll buy this house and you'll have to sign something that says you're, hopefully we'll work with them to come up with the right document, and the city can help us to say you're buying next to rural property. The CUNA schools had sent a comment that they originally wanted a bus stop with a shelter. So when I contacted them about the location of that bus stop and also if they had a standard for a bus stop, they decided against having a shelter, and they just want us to locate a paved area that's well lit for the kids to stand. And I think that's because, like we run into in Meridian, they move their stops around depending on where the kids are standing and where they're going to school. I think right now they drop off some of the kids right at the corner of Henshaw and 10 Mile, so likely we can put some pavement there and make sure they're not standing in mud and make sure there's a street light or some sort of lighting there for them. So we certainly can work that out. I'll summarize by saying we agree with all the conditions of approval, including those that were added at P&Z. And I want to say we're very thankful for the staff for being so forward-thinking. This is a bit of a new product, but I think CUNA is so much ready for this to provide these opportunities for people to live here that don't need a yard, but want to live in something that is reasonably priced. This is not low-income housing. This will be market-rate housing. And we respectfully ask the council rezone and approve our rezone and the preliminary plat as conditioned by the staff. Thank okay. you.
Questions for some?
I got just a quick question for you. When it comes to 10 Mile Road along the development there, just a little confusion on my part, I apologize, but do you have access to any sidewalks or anything that would be right outside the development along 10 Mile Road?
We're being requested to put in a sidewalk, two sidewalks. We have the sidewalk that's right in front of the units, and then we'll have the regular public sidewalk that's within the right-of-way of 10 Mile. We won't be improving 10 Mile with curb gutter and sidewalk, which is, again, one of the typical things with arterials, but we will have a sidewalk that will run the length of the property. And may I add one more thing that might be a little confusing? We actually don't have access to Crenshaw. When Crimson Point was put in, the developer and the now HOA, which I think can still be controlled by the developer, actually owns a strip of land that separates this property from the right-of-way of Crenshaw. So we couldn't get access to Crenshaw. In fact, there's a fence already up. We're hoping we can work with the developer to see if we can't adjust that fence somewhat, because it's just a vinyl fence that runs along the property boundary there. So, but you know, that was one of the things that the school had asked us about, maybe putting a shelter where they saw an amenity space, but there's no way to get the kids to Crenshaw from that, any of those spaces, because there's already a fence.
Okay. Anything further? Okay. Thank you. All right. So this is a public hearing, and we will go ahead and open the testimony. Is there anybody who wanted to testify that hasn't had a chance to sign in yet on the sheets? So first I have Stephen Harris, and if you would just state your name and address, because I can even mess up your name.
My name's Stephen Harris, and I live at 2255 North 10 Mile Road in Cuna, 83634. Okay. And 1 Corinthians 14:40 told us that all things be done decently and in an orderly manner. And as we pulled in the parking lot out here outside, there was a car, and on the door it said, Gateway to the Birds of Prey, City of Cuna. Is that what Cuna is noted for right now? There are some special virtues of the American people and their institutions. I want to share one of these. It's called Manifest Destiny. About 150 years ago, most of the United States of America, the people were settled on the east side of the Mississippi River. A mission was adopted by the United States. They decided to redeem and make the West in the image of the agrarians, America in the East. They had an irresistible desire to accomplish what they thought was an essential duty. They called it Manifest Destiny. It was accomplished at the expense of an entire civilization of people, and of course, buffaloes and other natural wildlife suffered, some even to the point of extinction. The Cunites have fulfilled this destiny for 150 years. Now, people from the West Coast are looking to create a new Manifest Destiny. They want to eliminate the Manifest Destiny of the 1800s, the agrarian culture. They have the idea that agriculture lifestyle needs to be taken over by Manifest Destiny of overpopulation. This West Coast lifestyle will eliminate agriculture and some of us buffaloes and other wildlife. For me, here is the rub. West Coast culture is flocking to Idaho, and in the process, they are eliminating why they came here in the first place. They are bringing their tract homes, and now in Cuna, fourplexes and these townhouses. Cuna is starting to look more like California than California. I reckon it's just Manifest Destiny. The two wrongs make a right. To keep up with the growth, we will have to be paying more and more taxes. Those of us who live on fixed income will be driven towards the Western Treasure Valley or even into Oregon. Schools are already overcrowded. If we continue to build houses that share common walls, there will not be a place for some of the old buffaloes to roam like myself. And there's a song, an old song that says, oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. And as 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently.
Thanks, sir. Did anybody have any questions for?
No, but that's the best presentation I think we've ever had. Hands down. Hands down.
With 15 seconds to spare, no less.
Yes.
Next, we have Rhonda Harris. Oh, I'm sorry. I saw that.
You wouldn't want to follow them.
Nobody wants to follow, yeah.
I do that every time. All right. You've got to follow up that. John Durfee.
Good My name is Jonathan Durfee, and I live at 2255 North 10 Mile.
Thank you.
Good evening. I am the owner of 2255 North 10 Mile, and this is the property that borders the north and the west side of the proposed development. I'm here tonight to oppose the development and the rezoning of this property from C1 to HDR. The development of this property will directly affect the current use of my property and create a large financial and stressful burden upon my family. Already, the proposed plan has caused me multiple days of stress and work, rebuilding my barn to create more privacy for myself and my animals because of the proposed dwellings they want to build along my property line. Any development on this 4 acres will create multiple issues that will affect my property. A major concern I have is with my irrigation and flood-style watering system. Currently, my irrigation ditch runs through 2310 Mile, and I have to partially flood the property in order to irrigate my southeastern pasture. Major ditch and piping redesign will need to take place in order for me to maintain the current watering abilities. That being said, proposed development is downhill from my property and is at risk of flooding if something unforeseen was to happen during my weekly irrigation. When my family is watering and irrigating our crops, we cannot be worried that we will flood and damage neighboring houses. I definitely do not have the means or ability to rebuild 600 feet of ditch line, so I would request that any developer coming in would address this issue to protect their property. My farm is home to a wide variety of animals who all come with varying characteristics, including loud noises, unpleasant odors, disgusting habits, sexual behaviors, large messes, and the ability to attract flies and pests. There are currently 37 animals on my property, including alpacas, llamas, large livestock, dogs, barn cats, chickens, roosters, and cows. There are also 10 or more active beehives on my property whose natural flight pattern runs through 2310 Mile. With every dwelling built on 2310 Mile, the liability factor greatly increases. More people bring the concern that either my livestock or a human could be injured because of the negligence or curiosity of people. Animals don't understand property lines. They're no respecter of noise ordinances. I am constantly repairing fences and damage by bored and mischievous livestock, and have had multiple animals break through fences that end up on 2310 Mile. Any developer of this property must concern themselves with the proper securing of its boundary. Waterproof berm, livestock-proof wall would ensure that future owners would feel safe having children playing in common areas bordering my land. I suggest a 2-foot berm and a 6-foot concrete wall to be built to properly ensure the safety of this property. I understand the restrictions of this property based on the ACHG and the right-of-ways, but I still think that CUNA would benefit much more from a commercial development being at this location. There are no stores or facilities anywhere on 10 Mile Road for existing property owners to eat, fuel vehicles, or work at. Traffic in this area is already difficult to deal with, and adding 57 units in such a small space is not going to help the situation. It's only going to overcrowd our schools, add more traffic, and create more competition for the limited services CUNA can currently provide. There's some way to allow a second entrance onto this property, Crenshaw. It would open up for more development options, and it would help with the traffic issues on 10 Mile Road. At this time, I do not think that high-density residential matches with CUNA's identity, and jamming more people in our small town is not a solution. I think we need to create more opportunities for businesses to come in and create jobs. This would stimulate population growth and allow the residents of CUNA to work and play where they live instead of having to commute to a place that offers this opportunity.
Very good. Did anybody have any questions for Joe?
Thank you.
Ivy Durfee. Yes.
Okay.
Name and address,
yep,
please.
I'm Ivy Durfee, 2255 North 10 Mile Road. Good evening. 3 years ago, my husband and I made the decision to buy a house of 5.35 acres here in CUNA. CUNA has always been known for its small town feel, which is changing more over the last couple years, We were excited to start our new adventure on our little farm and to enjoy the privacy of not having neighbors right up against our property and being able to see in each other's homes. On their proposed plan, because of ACHD guidelines, the entrance will be close to our property line. That means that the 11 townhomes along the north side of their property line will have to be flipped so the owners can have access to their garages, which are located in the back of the homes. And the front of the homes will be facing our property, looking down on us like fish in a glass bowl. This morning, I looked at the city council packet and noticed that they had an updated plan that included a few of the conditions of approval from the planning and zoning meeting back in August. We appreciate them working with us by putting some trees along the northwest and south property lines. However, we would like our privacy now, not in 10-plus years, when the trees are mature enough to give us privacy from the second story of these homes. We are asking as a condition of approval that they are required to plant 8 to 10 feet conifer trees and 3 to 4 inch diameter non-conifer trees. This will give us the privacy that will be taken away from us, as well as privacy for the owners of the 11 homes on the north and the 4 homes on the west side. A huge concern is the traffic that the proposed subdivision of 57 homes, along with the Cazador subdivision on the east side of 10 Mile, will bring to the already heavily congested 10 Mile Road. They say that the potential buyers of these townhomes will also... who want low maintenance, those who are retired, and those who want to downsize. I see local and out-of-state investors buying these townhomes and making them rentals. No one can guarantee that they won't become rentals, which could also bring more crime to this area. I also can see families who would like to buy their own home but can't afford the high cost of the new homes being built. And where are all these kids from these subdivisions going to attend school? My son attends Crimson Point, and he has 31 kids in his class. I found out today that Crimson Point has 3 classrooms available, but can't use them because there is no funding for teachers and for the school. My daughter attends CUNA Middle School, which also has too many kids, even though they opened and moved some to Fremont Middle School. I strongly believe that CUNA needs to stop building right now and catch up on building schools for all the kids who will be moving to the CUNA area within the next year or 2 years of these subdivisions being completed. This type of subdivision does not belong in CUNA. It belongs in the more highly populated commercial area like downtown Boise. I think commercial or a smaller subdivision of homes on bigger lots would be best for that piece of property and for this area.
Very good. Thank you. Do anybody have any questions for?
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Amy Harding. Amy?
Hello. Amy Harding. I live at 1852 West Crenshaw Street, the first home in the Crenshaw community, right next to the empty drainage ditch, the huge one that every kid plays in. So I am not supportive of putting this many homes in there for many reasons I've already been stated. I feel like we need to look at resources for the city to support the needs of the community prior to putting in more residential. Since we already know there's more residential coming, I already have 2 children who, well, I've had 4 kids, 12-year-old, 2 10-year-olds, and a 5-year-old, all who previously have had no academic issues prior to coming here. We moved here a year ago. This year, I'm working with principals in both the middle school and the elementary school with the teachers to help improve the school systems for our kids in CUNA. This definitely overpopulated student-to-teacher ratio. I'm teaching my own kindergartner at home after school. I'm a full-time manager of a healthcare clinic, so I'm very busy, but I make sure my child gets educated properly. That's one of my major concerns. I know the fire department did not get approval to get another fire department in CUNA. Just other resources like that that I know can impact it, traffic and roads and things like that. If this were to get approved, which I'm not supportive of, for many of the reasons already stated, there are a few concerns I have. I am not a spokesman of the HOA from Crenshaw. I would not propose any throughput on that fence line at all. There's already too many people coming from the apartments, which is not part of our HOA, that come and utilize our services in Crenshaw, which we allow and we don't complain about. There are many fence line issues, meaning that they're broken fences on their side of the property that's not getting fixed. We're very good at keeping ours up, and I'm concerned if we put in this high of a residential area with young kids, which I love kids, I got my own, that fence that is ours will be mutual, and maintaining that fence will be expensive for our HOA. So having something set up with that community, if it does go in, to assure that we as an HOA don't have to pay for it every single time it's broken, but that it does get maintained. Leaving Crenshaw this morning, I almost got ran into due to the weeds that are in that current existing property because they were, you know, growing. Nobody's maintaining it right now. And with this property, where the stop sign sits on that property, it's back from 10 Mile enough that you can't really see around those weed areas. You have to pull a whole car length out past the stop sign to see traffic appropriately. So you're breaking the rules there as a driver. And those plants right there, I'm a concern that you won't be able to see the traffic unless traffic stuff is adjusted there. Sorry, I thought there was a question. So I just want to just reiterate things that have already been said, looking at the resources that CUNA can provide to their communities prior to opening more residential space. The other concern I have on here is this tot lot has no equipment in it on this new floor plan that they, or a new plot that they have on here. So are they going to have enough resources to support their own community within their own area? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anybody have any questions for Amy? Thank you very much. And Stephen Nelson. He brought gloves and everything. Working man.
Steve Nelson, 2082 North McClure Lane, CUNA. I own the property directly to the west of Durfee's, which is these houses are going to look directly down across our property. The code was changed to prevent fourplexes on commercial property. I don't know what the difference is between a fourplex and four townhouses attached to each other. But there's nothing, as they was said, there's nothing that prevents me from going over there and buying four and then renting them out to whoever I want. And I know there's a need for rental houses, but it's at 57 units or whatever that's the traffic there on 10 Mile, and I know that's not y'all's deal, but the subdivision's going in out there. It's hell getting out off of Ardell onto 10 Mile in the mornings. The powers to be downtown need to figure out what we're going to do out here. The fencing is the other issue. My property has six houses from Crimson Point against it. Dogs dig under the vinyl fence and come into my pasture where the horses are. Little kids come into the field. I had two kids hide in the field while I was cutting hay. Scared the crap out of me. They won't make that mistake again, but, I was one of them that said put some no-climb fence behind this. I've had two issues where a hole gets knocked into the fence and it's a fight with the HOA to get it fixed. Well, it's your fence. No, it's not. But I just want to, I don't support this. I concur with what John Durfee said, and the others. It's just, I don't think it's a place and time for it. When I bought my property, there are seven of us that have properties there. And yep, we're out in the county, surrounded by you, but.
Holding out.
That's right. They're coming after us. And that one lot out of the McClure subdivision, for whatever reason, got just put off by itself and zoned commercial. And no, I wouldn't have a problem with a Maverick or something there, but just I don't agree with 57 houses going in.
Okay.
Thank you.
Did anybody have any questions for Stephen? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And that's all I had signed up. Was there anybody else who wanted to testify who didn't get a chance yet? Okay. Jane, would you?
Thank you, Mayor and Council Members. Jane Suggs, representing Athleta Subdivision. A couple of things. I can't follow the song because I don't. Too. But I think I've talked to my engineer about the irrigation. There's a along the north side, and we will be working with Mr. Durfrey to talk about how to make sure that we don't create any more problems with him. And I think we have come to an agreement with the developer as well that if there needs to be some piping or something to keep that water moving so that it doesn't overflow, like there's a ditch now. I don't know that we would agree to a big concrete wall, but we can certainly agree to some sort of berming and some way to pipe in some of that open ditch line so that they're not an issue anymore, and that pipes being more more efficient than the ditch. So certainly an agreement in our conditions of approval to work with the property owner on the north on the irrigation. In fact, I think we're very close to having some construction drawings prepared that we could probably just send over to him. I'll get his email and have him take a look at those and see if he has some comments on those. I believe that we did add quite a few trees. I was just showing the neighbors the old landscape plan and the new one that showed the additional trees that we had added along the north and the west side. And I understand that they want something now. We will do what we can at the condition of approval to plant trees that are reasonable. The problem is that sometimes planting a 4-inch deciduous tree, it won't live. You have to plant them a certain sizes. So, but a landscape plan, and we can work with the staff on what size trees make sense to plant there that will provide that growth. And some of those conifers do grow a foot or two a year. I mean, they're fast growing, some of them. So junipers especially seems like they take over the place. So, but we would agree to work with the staff on the right size trees to put in that location that would survive. I appreciate Ms. Harding talking about the vision triangle that needs to be improved there, and I think we can do that. That's part of the requirements of putting in any kind of development is that we don't create a problem. You know, on each of our locations, there's a vision triangle that's in your code that will make sure that we keep our landscaping so that we don't have that problem. We don't own that property right up to Crenshaw, so we can't do a whole lot on that radius there, but we can make sure that our plantings don't create an additional problem. We were very happy to do some stuff that Mr. Nelson talked about, adding the fence to keep the kids from coming in and out. So we think that that will be a really good opportunity to create kind of a possibility or maybe even a code for those properties that are next to rural properties so that you have the fence, the regular vinyl fence, but you have a fence behind it that keeps that those panels from knocking out, and you can't get, the animals can't get in the metal fence either. And there was another discussion about the fencing that is there and about the maintenance of that fencing. And, you know, I think I would love to see actually some a lower fence or maybe even an open fencing instead of just the vinyl fence, because we do, it would be nice to be able to see Crenshaw. It would be nice for the Crenshaw people driving by to see the fronts of homes as opposed to a fence. So we would like to work with the HOA to see if there's something we can do with that fencing, not to allow any access. I believe there is one access, it's a gate that allows access to a sewer that runs through because there's a sewer manhole right where the fence is, but some way to allow the property owners to share in any kind of issue we have with the fencing, or maybe even replace that vinyl fence with something that's more attractive and maybe that doesn't tear up or get kicked out. I'll be happy to answer any of the questions that were brought up by the neighbors. But we certainly want to make sure that we are a good neighbor. We do think that this is the right place for this. 10 Mile is an arterial street. This is where your traffic goes. And in the staff report from ACHD, you'll see there is plenty of capacity for more traffic on 10 Mile. And, of course, it's a popular street because it connects to the highway. So you will see a lot of development, and I'm sure you already have, on 10 Mile as people are gravitating to that street to get to the freeway. We think this is a great product. Like I said, it's a mix. It provides a really nice mix of housing and will be in a really attractive addition to CUMA. And I, again, respectfully request your approval, not only of our rezone, but of our preliminary plan.
Okay. Question for Jane.
Yes. On the one applicant or one person that testified talked about the tot lot. Is there any plans for any equipment
there? There'll be playground equipment there and a pavilion for like moms and and dads to sit in underneath in the shade so they have to be play equipment. A tot lot means play equipment.
Bob?
Mayor and Council, I was wondering if we could maybe get a little bit of a clarification on what you're talking about as far as a no-climb fence would be. Just want to make sure that's clearly defined in order to understand what that is. Are you talking about a wrought iron fence behind the vinyl fence? Or
More like, I think it's not a chain link fence, but it would be like a metal fence, not a wrought iron fence, but something that doesn't allow, I think the Durfees might have goats. Okay. We'll specify beam mesh, not a wrought iron fence per se, but it's some sort of metal fence.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying.
Are you Googling?
And when you do, can you put it up on the screen?
Sell it at Amazon, so it must be official.
Well, I didn't figure he was making that up. I couldn't come up with something.
I just wanted to see it.
Did anybody have any other questions for Jake?
Mayor, Council, sorry. I just think I need to point out one other thing, that if we will allow that as our code's currently written, that does not meet our fence ordinance.
Yeah.
So we'll have to work with the applicant. That out.
Okay.
We'll have the V mesh and we'll have a vinyl fence beside it together. So it's just an addition to the next to the vinyl fence. Vinyl fence meets your code. I know you don't allow metal fences, but it seems like that would be at the request of the neighbors, something that only they will see. It won't be something that will be visible to the people in the subdivision or the public. So, yeah. Hopefully we can make that happen, but that's not the neighbors.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Any other question?
Thank you.
Thank you.
One more thing. Great article in the paper in the press. Thank you.
Which one did we do?
Sunday. Sunday's article in the press. All about human.
We all read it, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, I'd like to clarify one thing. Council earlier changed our C1 designation so that it didn't include multifamily. And we realized that it would be different if we left that alone, but there was a reason we did that, and it was, we always felt that that was kind of a bait and switch. When somebody buys a property and they look and they see it's a C1, they think automatically it's going to be a commercial, and we didn't think that was appropriate, so we wanted to fix that. So we understand that things would have been different had we not made that change, but that's why we made that change. So, and I don't know what we can do about disclosure from realtors about agriculture next door. I'm already getting a lot of calls about the people that built across the road from the dairy. The apparently the realtors said that dairy was moving soon. I have not heard of that dairy moving at all, so I think, you know, I mean, it still comes down to the integrity of whoever's selling a property is what they're going to tell people. So the one lady that was living there grew up on a farm. She didn't mind her husband, however, was a city boy, and he didn't appreciate it. So I guess one of my biggest problems with this type of project is if we just don't have any services on 10 Mile. Realize 10 miles are intended to be a corridor and it's going to be widened and improved and all of that thing, but So as far as traffic on 10 Mile goes, it would increase traffic on 10 Mile, but it would also increase traffic on Deer Flat because people are going to be traveling the services. So, and that's just a problem for today. I don't know how long it's going to be before those changes are made, but I really do have major concerns about putting that many more people in an area like that. So that's just kind of my two cents for the moment.
I think I'll piggyback off that a little bit here. We see a lot of times ACHD coming in and saying it can accommodate a lot more traffic, but then when people come and testify or they send in letters, that's always a top concern because ultimately they're the ones that live on it, they're the ones that drive on it, they're the ones that see it. You start seeing what you're doing in that corner, adding a bunch more homes as well. It understandably does concern a lot of the citizens, and that's something I think we have to take into account, but I don't know, it's always that catch-22 in that situation. They get a look at it. You know, they're the ones that live it, they're the ones that drive it, they're the ones that see it. Adding more homes to an already congested street in their eyes is just going to be cause for more concern from the safety standpoint.
I guess I look frustrated up here, and I'll tell you why. My laptop keeps crashing with all my notes in it, so I apologize for my appearance up here. I'm very frustrated with this new computer that was given to me.
We honestly didn't notice.
In agreement with the others, and I thought I would be a lone standout here. I know we put a lot of work into the new comp plan. I would like to see more commercial up and down 10 Mile there simply because it was made to be commercial up and down 10 miles. So my original reading Saturday and Sunday of my tablet when it worked was that I would like to see that stay C1 simply because of the amount of work that was put in there. I don't think 10 miles is ready for that much traffic right now. In talking to the police chief, we have concerns about the fourplexes that are down the road from there and the amount of people there. I just don't think it's a good area for a buy and sell type of development that is going in there right now. So
I really think it's also important. We look at what's going on with the schools, especially on that side of town, and really it's just CUNA-wide, but you look over there in Crimson and the overcrowding there, Silver Trail, the overcrowding there. This is a situation that the school is just having to pass an emergency levy because they had an influx of students that maybe they didn't see coming, maybe they did. No reason for, you know, to speculate, but to pass an emergency levy because there was a stronger influx in students than what they thought. I think looking at when you go from a rezone right now from a commercial to a residential and putting that much more strain on the district that's already got plenty of work ahead of them just to accommodate things that have already been approved. I struggle just having kids even at that age to know that there's really no end in sight. Looking at a situation like this, looking at rezoning to something, to an R20, especially in that area with those schools over there. So.
Are you suggesting that we should no longer approve development at all?
I didn't say that. What I said was, looking at this case from a rezone from a C1 to an R20 in that area doesn't make sense to me right now. I'm not linking this to every single development out in Canada.
I guess I'm just, the thing that I struggle with, though, is if the reason for saying no to this one is because it's what's going to tip over the top of the school not being able to accommodate more students, it seems like we would have to apply that rationale to every development. Otherwise, that isn't the reason. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
That makes sense. I just look at it differently. I look at what it's being put in. I look at the schools in the area. I look at recent events. I look at all sorts of things. I don't just look at the whole blanket wide. Just because I deny something for one reason, it doesn't impact every single development that rolls through. Everything's a different point in time. Everything's a different situation. Everything's in a different location. So when I make a decision, I'm looking at all of the things in front of me, and I'm not blanketing this, but I'm using a rationale based on what I feel like of this specific proposal from the reason. So, because I think if we start thinking every time we would deny something, and we put a rationale out there, if we start thinking because we made a rationale based on that decision on this one development that it has to be used as a rationale on every single development everywhere, it's gonna just cause headaches for every single type of discussion, every single type of vote. So.
I actually, well, I view it exactly the opposite in the sense that if we're consistent with how we apply principles, then it makes it more transparent and easier to anticipate what the outcome is rather than, to borrow a phrase, I guess, if we're changing the rules mid-game each time and like, well, for that one, we're going to deny it because we feel like the schools are too crowded. But for this other one, we'll just say it's because of traffic. And for this other one, like it just makes me uncomfortable that we're not going to be, it's not like a legally defensible decision if then we turn around and the next application we see that's so, also going to contribute to the school population we approve.
I guess I would think a discussion being held on, or I should say a vote being held on individual types of events would warrant their own discussion and warrant their own rationale. I can't sit and apply everything I think about this development to every future development that comes in front of us. And so when I make a decision, I'm not thinking about future decisions. I'm not thinking about past decisions. I'm thinking about this decision in front of me right now. So to look at a rezone from a commercial to a residential 20 in an area where traffic is a concern to the residents, to the people, safety is a concern, schools are concerned, I'm making a rationale based on the decision in front of me. So I know if you think different in that respect, then that's understandable, but that's not how I'm viewing this right now.
The other challenging thing, I think, and I think Bill wants to speak up, but is if we deny an application, we have to give the specific reasons why and what they would be able to do to get an approval for it. So I struggle with that, too, that if the rationale is, well, the schools can't accommodate, we can't tell them, like, they have to go build a school or anything.
Okay. Mr. Gigray.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Bill Gigray, city attorney, 5700 East Franklin Street, business address, I should say. In regards to your deliberations here this evening on this particular application, as I see on the agenda, you have one, the consideration for a rezone. And the rezone consideration has to do with whether or not this proposed rezoning classification application is contrary to the comprehensive plan or will impair the ability to provide services by reason of the rezone. That kind of is parameters of what you think about in terms of deliberation and the evidence before you for the rezone. With regards to the subdivision, that would be whether or not it meets your standards for the subdivision. And that's going to be pretty much engineering and otherwise as to whether it meets your code requirements on the subdivision. I see on here that there's a design review, and I'm not sure if design review is before you at this point or if that's still in the Planning and Zoning Commission segment, which is
where there's more liberality with regards to design and all the other aspects of this. So I just encourage you to look at it this way. If you have concerns about the ability to provide services, which Councilman Christensen has raised, or the ability to have traffic, which the mayor has raised, I don't know, and you may want to ask Troy whether or not we have any comment from ACHD, whether we have any comment from Joint School District on regards to their ability to provide services with this rezone, so that there's some hard evidence with the record to support that this, in fact, will impact it and to what degree. And I would encourage you that those are certainly legitimate concerns that you can have. And if we, there isn't a sufficient record before you to support whether it does or does not impose the ability to provide those services, you certainly can continue this hearing and ask for additional information and input on those very issues. So I just encourage you certainly to use your ability to make these decisions as our law requires that you do, and that if the record is incomplete in support of your concerns, I think you have every right to ask for additional information to address those very concerns. So either that isn't a concern or it really is, and this is what the degree of the impact of this rezone would have on the ability to provide services. So that's clearly.
Can I ask you a question?
Sir?
Yeah, real quick.
Yes. Thank you.
Am I to understand then that we then do have to base our decision solely on what ACHD recommends and what the school district recommends? Or is it my understanding that community residents carry the same amount of ploy if they were to come up here and say, this is going to cause a danger, or they come up and say, my child's classroom can't support another 20 kids. Does that not carry the same weight if the school district were to come in and say, yeah, we can support that, or ACHD were to come in and say, there's not enough traffic, it's okay, we recommend it? Do the community residents not carry the same amount of pull as they do when it comes to testimony?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I think what you ultimately decide is the weight of the evidence to support whatever decision you make is a matter of your own decision. I'm just saying that you only have a record before you from which you can make those decisions, and then you can determine if it's credible and how much weight you want to put on it. And I'm just asking a question at this point because I didn't hear it in the staff report. Do you have a report from ACHD? Do you have a report from the school district that addresses some of the concerns that you raised? I'm not saying ignore what people have to say. That's certainly evidence that you can take into consideration. I'm not here to support or not support that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying these are the parameters of the decision.
You are the fishing guide.
Maybe.
So I think one thing that With the school district's comment, they're not really clear on anything. They kind of say, well, we're really busy and we guess maybe there'll be this many kids, and upon build out, we're going to have to decide whether or not we're going to have to bond for another school. And so they're not specific on what they're saying.
Mr. Mayor and members of the council, I think you can ask them to be specific.
Well, I would tell
you my experience, and I've represented other school districts for a long time, and I think sometimes they're remiss in not paying attention to development issues that affect their ability to provide services. I'm not going to say that this school district is, but my experience is they don't focus a lot on this, and they probably should. I think we have every right to ask for the specifics. Now, if you don't want to, you feel that there's sufficient evidence before you to find that it would be a problem to provide services, and you direct it to traffic and to school district issues. I mean, that's within your license, and you're pointing out specifics, which is correct with a rezone. If there's a service issue, that can be a reason to deny a rezone.
Well, I think we provide them with numbers that we have as best we can. I just don't know that we're pushing enough numbers on it. Maybe that's the issue. So I would like to get a little more clarification from the school district on what they'd like to see. But for me, one thing that I was kind of talking about was we just don't have any services on that side of town. So what we've always, and when I say services, I mean people that want to go buy gas or buy a cup of coffee or go to the store, that kind of thing, not sewer services and water and that type of thing. But I just, when we're getting that kind of concentration of people there, and my hope is to save some of that along that corridor for commercial so that we can have people come in and provide those services. And maybe a 4.11 acre parcel isn't big enough for anybody commercial to do anything anyway. So those are the questions I'd like to have answered before I went deep with this. But I certainly agree with Brianna that we need to be consistent in what we're doing here.
In terms of services, from the statute, it's agency services, government agency services, not private services or commercial.
Right.
But from the comprehensive plan standpoint, if your comprehensive plan identifies either in the verbiage or as well as in the map that you have that's in the comp plan that this zone change would be contrary, and you find that it's contrary to the comprehensive plan, and you can use that as a basis of the.
Okay, thank you. I will also, though, say that is a good looking project. Good looking buildings, and it's laid out nicely, and so I certainly have no problem with the project. I just wanted to throw my concerns out there of the overall.
Mr. Mayor,
Troy.
For the record, Mr. Mayor and council members, Troy Buchanan for the record, the ACC representative is here.
The what?
The ACHD representative, Christy Henselman, is here.
Okay.
In case you have any questions.
Just FYI.
All right. Thank you. And Christy, welcome.
Mayor.
Yes.
Getting back to the basic here is whether the council wants to change that from C1 to an R20. There's two issues here. One is the zone change, and the other one is the allocation of the townhouses. We need to first look at it. Does the council want to go from a C1 to an R20? That's basically the premise that needs to be understood that we're doing. And then once that's agreed upon or disagreed upon, then we have to go into, do we want that large of a development there? Do we not want it? So there's two issues I think we have to address. We're confusing the two, running them together instead of keeping them separate.
Okay.
My turn.
Sure.
I'm glad I didn't have to follow Bill. Thank you, Richard. I'm pretty torn because multiple people have said, you know, they'd rather see commercial. I was at KJ's the other day for about 10 minutes on the phone, and I'm guessing probably 40 cars were in and out of there in a 10-minute time zone. So we're worried about 57 units, two cars each, roughly, you know, in and out of there two, maybe three times a day versus 30, 40 cars in 10 minutes. So what's really going to generate more traffic, a Maverick or this? I don't know. I'm not a traffic expert. I'm not going to even think that I'm going to be for any reason, but I think the parking issue that other apartment complexes have had, such as the ones off of Deer Flat and 10 Mile to the west side of that complex. I don't know about the newer ones that are real close to this current project, but looking at the way they've done parking in these, it is way better than the what we've had in the past. So that is a bonus. I'm not a fan of the style of, you know, seven houses that connect, or four, some of them, three, six, whatever. The appearance does look kind of cool, I guess. I'd agree with the mayor there, but it's just, I guess that's not my cup of tea. But if it meets city code, then that is what it is. It sounds like the common ground with the fencing and drainage was somewhat addressed. I guess that's really all I had. This is a damned if you do, damned if you don't one right here, if I've ever seen one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, I did have one more thing, actually. Was it Mrs. Harding in the black jacket? You were concerned about the traffic triangle and that getting out of there. And this would actually go to everyone in the audience. If you go on ACHD's website, go to the contact thing, they actually have an app on your phone. You can take the picture, submit it, and they'll come out and look at it and address it. Or if you don't have a smartphone, like some people still don't, unbelievably, but you can do it on the internet. There you go. So there's an app. You can take a picture, 4,000 words to say why this is a problem and whatever, and they will come address it pretty promptly, actually. So just something to throw out there.
Well, so in terms of, as Councilmember Cardoza noted, the first issue before us, the rezone, per staff report, the future land use map indicates that this site would be listed high density residential. That's on page 3 of PD2, if anybody wanted to check. Yeah, and then page 24 of BD2, there's a larger version of the comp plan map that also shows this as a high density residential area. And then the current zoning map is the one after that that shows it as commercial, because that's what it currently is zoned as. But, it appears that we had been anticipating residential, a higher density residential going in here. Particularly if we're looking at Deer Flat and 10 Mile being a commercial area, I guess at least on that southwest corner would be the last, or that already has the, so the northwest corner is listed as commercial still. Which would make sense in terms of walkability to services. We also do still have a bunch of what's currently zoned as commercial up on the west side of 10 Mile from Ardell up to Hubbard. Right.
That's why I came. I've been trying to find ACHD's comments, and it's listed as Exhibit B2, but we have B1, and then B3, and then B4.
Yeah, I didn't see ACHD's comments in here either.
So I don't know what happened there. I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. This is Trevi Hunan, for the record. I have their report right here at the last hearing. I don't know in between then and now, I don't know what happened to it, but I do have a copy of it for you tonight.
That looks like a couple hundred pages. Can you read that for us, please?
I sure can. Oh.
Read into the record.
No, it's actually quite. And just as a reminder, the ACSD representative is here.
Yeah.
He's really trying to throw you under the bus.
He wants you up.
That's right.
So, Christy, would you see if you can answer a question for me? So, I think it's always been my understanding that commercial usually creates more traffic than residential. The only difference is possibly time of day when that traffic occurs. So, do you...
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I don't have the ITE manual with me. I tried to look it up over there with regard to the difference for residential. Typically, a residential dwelling is 10 vehicle trips per day and just a couple of PM peak hour. This particular development would generate an additional, I believe, when I was looking at the report, 31 PM peak trips. There's an existing 496 on 10 mile, which is a level of service E, which is the acceptable level for a two-lane minor arterial. For the commercial, it really depends on the type of commercial development that you're talking about.
Sure.
If we're talking about a gas station, they do generate more trips on average than a residential, but a gas station typically has a lot more pass-by trips. So that's something I would have to look up and get back to you on. That's not a number I have. But, yes, commercial typically does generate more depending on the type.
Right. Dentist office, nobody wants to go
right.
there, so they don't
that office is much lower than a residential, but C-stores kind of go a little higher on that end. So.
All right, good. Thank you, Ray.
You're welcome.
Could you say your name on the record?
Yeah, oh, Christy Inselman with Ada County Highway District, 3775 Adams Street, Garden City, 83714.
Okay, so I don't know if folks had a chance to look through everything. I don't know if we're going to take these, separate them out, or take it as a package deal, but I guess in answering the first question at least, is this property appropriate for rezone, and are we supportive of the rezone? What are folks' thoughts on that question?
I honestly would like to see if we could get the school district to be a little more specific. Let us know that they need to let us know if the district can truly support this type of development or rezone or not, instead of just blanking it and saying, when it's full build, we might have to go for bond. I would just like to see if we get some more specific than that. Or ultimately, we have to rely on the witnesses that testify about how the classrooms are and how the district is. So,
well, I don't know that we have to rely exclusively on that testimony because the school district did submit a letter, so that would be something that we could consider too, but I hear what you're saying. Anybody else?
Well, it is, I mean, it is, according to Compton, that's within reason of what Compton shows. So.
I would even go so far as to say it is the anticipated use of the land under the comp plan.
I want to say we actually discussed that once at that meeting about that exact property, but I could be wrong.
I can't remember.
Rich? Maybe not to this level, but yeah. Apartments type.
What are your thoughts, Rich?
I think the basic issue before us is, do we go from a C1 to an R20? It's very plain. That's the issue.
And do you feel like you have sufficient information to make that decision, or do you feel like you
need to... If the comp plan is a C1 now, then...
Yeah, the future land use map shows it being changed to this zoning that they're asking for. Do you want the map? Is that what you're looking for, Joe?
Yeah.
I want to say it's on page 24. I think it's like 462 of the whole packet. I think you're right, like slight back. Yeah, there you go. That's the... Yeah, for future land use. And then the next page is what it currently is.
So, high density residents.
So do we want to vote separately on the two things? Like, do we need to vote on the rezone first and then on the second piece, or do we want to talk about each piece and then vote on it as a whole, or how do we want to do this? Or are you saying, Warren, that even if it was to get rezoned tonight, you wouldn't be ready yet to approve the subdivision application because you want more info from the school first?
I think getting information from the school starts at the beginning, so I would be hesitant to even vote on the rezone.
That's fine. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify if that's...
Yeah,
if that
I would like to get more clarification from the school, because I think they really just kind of, they blanketed it, like you said, and they really just say, once at full build, we have to revisit. Well, we need to look at it and see if it's something the district can or can't support.
And I hear you, and I don't mind kicking it to the next meeting for the chance to try to get that. I have a sneaking suspicion, however, that they will still probably be a little hedgy.
Yeah.
And especially saying things like, you know, depending on if the attempt to have the legislature change the rules so that schools can collect impact fees, like, if that's successful, then not a problem. Yeah.
Start looking at the timing of this, and they just recently did an emergency level because too many students. And so these developments impact the school district. It's something I'd like to put it back on the table to see if they're willing to be a little more detailed. If not, it turns to the people living it, the witnesses that testify as to how the classroom standards are. The school district's not going to do it. So.
Okay. So is the preference to table until the next meeting to try to procure information from the school district? Was there any other concerns we want to address?
I would be prepared to vote tonight. I think the record's complete, but I'm fine with tabling until the next meeting.
Do we know when their next meeting is that they would address it before our next meeting?
Well, it'd be staff meeting. It'd be staff that would make the call.
So okay. All right.
Yes. We're good. Have to wait for this meeting. I can see the smoke coming out of your ears, Cardoza.
I guess I'm confused. Is our agenda incorrect then? And in addressing that as a C1 right now?
No.
It is currently zoned as C1. That is correct, yes. In the future land use map.
Okay.
It's listed as it's changing, yeah.
And originally it was zoned C1 for multifamily housing. So that's the difference in why it's going.
Yeah, I think it was kind of earmarked for this, which is why, yeah, it was the one parcel that changed in that section of commercial that wasn't that in the future land use map. So I just want to make sure if there are any other questions we have or info we want to get, especially from outside entities, if we can come up with those questions now, that way at least we'll be fully equipped to make the decision next time. So is the only additional info that we need from the school district? Were there any other things that we want anybody to address?
I think possibly it would be good to have Lisa talk about the possibility of a commercial lot, if that was feasible or not. At least it would clarify in my mind. 4.11 acres is something that's tough to sell or not.
Give him your tablet. She wanted to know if you wanted her to start printing the packets for you as a backup.
Oh.
He likes trees too much.
He likes to suffer.
Okay.
All right, so basically we have the school district to be more specific on their ability to service. And then comments on commercial. Is there anything else we need to know on this?
Okay.
Good for me.
I move we continue the public hearing for 1903ZC and 1905S for the Athleta subdivision to our meeting on November 6th, at which, and in the interim, we will seek additional comment from the school district regarding their ability to service the proposed sub, and information from
Lisa Hull,
our economic development director, regarding commercial feasibility for a lot that size. That is my motion.
And I will second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to table until the council meeting November 6th. With two additional items to be discussed. Any further discussion?
Mayor?
Yes.
Now that I have a computer that works, page 47 of 82, there's a letter from the school district.
Right.
Right.
That not descriptive enough.
Now, if you read that second paragraph, it doesn't, I mean, it just kind of says, well, we're
second, secondary.
Kind of full, but I don't know, but if I build out, we may have to build a bond. So I mean, it's just not specific.
Anything further? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. We will continue this November 6th.
And thank you all for coming to testify and listen otherwise.
We have a lot of hearings where nobody shows up, so.
And especially no one that sings to us.
All right. Business items. Request for $30,000 from contingency for collaboration with Cuna School District on tennis, pickleball court, parking, and drinking fountain. Bobby Withrow.
Hello, Bobby.
Mayor Council. For the record, Bobby Withrow, Park Director, 270 Orchard Street. So a little bit history about this project. Earlier this year, the school district came to us for help with a grant to redo the tennis courts. We talked a lot, long story short, the timeline that was going to have to happen because of the grants didn't work for them. They wanted it sooner. So they decided to redo the courts themselves. While we were talking, though, I brought up the need of possible pickleball courts so people can, you know, come to town and play pickleball in Townsville. I've had multiple requests from the community saying how they don't like to go to Radiant to play pickleball, they wish it was here. So this is just kind of a school-city venture to help bring that here. They are going to put pickleball line on the courts. If we help out with parking and drinking fountain, then we'll have kind of first rights if we want to do like an adult league over the summer. So we really wouldn't have to reserve it. We'd already have access during the day and on the weekends. That's it in a nutshell.
If CUNA PAL wanted to expand into an exciting pickleball league for youth, would they also be able to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, who knew pickleball was such a thing?
It was a lot like disc golf.
And if approved, Mikey and Bobby are going to do an exhibition game.
All right.
The Battle of the Beards. That's what I...
on the ball.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
There we go. There's no stopping now.
I'm supportive of the request. I think it's always great when we try to come up with more activities and things for folks to get interested in and have options to do so. I'm supportive of this request and would be delighted to make a motion along those lines unless anybody else has anything else they want to say first.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, that's kind of one of our goals has been to cooperate with school district for more amenities and together we can do that. Very good.
Richard's got something up his sleeve. Yeah, yeah.
Are we talking about the basketball courts at the high school?
Tennis courts.
Or tennis courts.
Middle school.
Oh, the middle school.
Yeah. Okay. Excuse me, Councilman Cardozo. Yeah, we're talking about the ones at the middle school. Off the 10 mile that discovery.
Okay.
The new high school that was built when I was in high school. It's not a high school anymore. The one you would have went to is gone.
Don't they have ample handicap parking there already?
No, it's all gravel right now.
Gravel. With power pole bumpers and drinking.
Okay.
I move we approve the expenditure of $30,000 from the contingency fund to be used for a joint project with the school district, a pickleball project.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the request for the funds for the tennis pickleball court partnership with the school district. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. 7B, consideration to approve resolution number R78-2019, Bob Bachman, Public Works.
You do have before you a corrected copy. There's some red lines in there where some numbers were, was that you said never math? Never anytime math? Some, I don't know.
Mayor and Council, for the record, Bob Bachman, City County Public Works Director. I apologize for the mistake. I caught it at about 1 or 2 o'clock today, and I need to beg Chris for forgiveness also. So, but I apologize. This is our annual irrigation assessment. It's based off our budget for pressurized irrigation for the upcoming year. These are directly calculated based off what our budget is. The good news about the changes you'll see in the resolution in front of you is it goes down, not up. So we had a $30,000 bust on the high side. I just happened to be reading through it again and realized there was something in there that should not have been. So like I said, I apologize for that. If you look at the resolution in front of you, all of the highlighted red areas are the corrections and the effect that had all the way through the document. It did bring the pressurized irrigation fees down, like that's a mistake. Correct. So I would stand for any questions. Yeah.
You're always permitted to make mistakes as long as they make it cheaper.
Thank you.
Yeah. No questions. Thank you.
He kept telling me how sorry he was, and I said, ooh, Bobby's not perfect. Okay.
Thanks.
We just need a motion to approve this. If everyone's in agreement.
yeah, there's no reason to do three readings, right?
No.
I was looking at the wrong.
That's right.
Yep, it is. All right, I move we approve resolution number R78-2019, the amended version that we received today.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve resolution number R78-2019 as amended. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. 8A, ordinances. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2019-29A. A municipal annexation and zoning ordinance of the City Council and the City of Cuna, Idaho, making certain findings and declaration of authority and annexing certain real property to it, Ada County Assessor's Parcel Number S13031-41900, owned by Jefferson Washburn, situated within the unincorporated area of Ada County, Idaho, and contiguous to the corporate limits of the City of Cuna, into the City of Cuna, Idaho, and respectively establishing R8 zoning district classification of said real property, and amending the official zoning map, and directing the city engineer and city clerk, and providing an effective date. And this is just another one into the irrigation.
This is a full-on annexation,
oh,
right?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Municipal
annexation. So this was one that we approved the annexation on August 20th, so no issues with it. I move we waive three readings of ordinance number 2019-29A.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to waive three readings of ordinance number 2019-29A. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried.
I move we approve ordinance 2019-29A.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2019-29A. Chris, would you poll council?
Councilmember Cardozo?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
And Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2019-38. An ordinance of the City Council of Cuna, Idaho, amending Cuna City Code Title II, Boards and Commissions. Addition of a new Chapter 4 to Title II, Cuna City Code, establishing the Cuna Arts Commission and directing the City Clerk and providing an effective date.
We've been operating under a resolution prior to this, but commission's going well, so it's time to put it into an ordinance. Waiving three reads is fine. Reading it three times is fine as well. I don't have a preference either way, and I stand for any questions.
Okay.
Anybody else have feelings on three readings or no?
I think we can skip.
Okay. I move we waive three readings of ordinance number 2019-38.
Second. Motion to amend and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance 2019-38. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve ordinance 2019-38.
Second.
Motion's been seconded to approve ordinance number 2019-38. Chris, would you call the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Ruben Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries.
Move we approve summary publication of ordinance 2019-38.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve a summary publication of ordinance 2019-38. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2019-39. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors Challenger Development Incorporated and declaring water rights appurtenant thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, and directing the city engineer to provide notice of this ordinance to the Nampa Meridian Irrigation District, the owners, and update the irrigation system map, and providing an effective date.
Move we waive three readings of ordinance 2019-39.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance number 2019-39. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve ordinance 2019-39.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2019-39. Chris, would you call the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Ruben Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2019-40. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors Select Development and Contracting LLC and declaring water rights appurtenant thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, and directing the city engineer to provide notice of this ordinance to the Boise CUNA Irrigation District, the owners, and update the irrigation system map, and providing an effective date.
I move we waive three readings of ordinance 2019-40.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance number 2019-40. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Do we have a motion to approve?
Oh, didn't we already?
No.
Oh, apologies. I move we approve ordinance 2019-40.
Second.
Motion's been seconded to approve ordinance 2019-40. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Ruben Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2019-41, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors CUNA East LLC and declaring water rights appurtenant thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, and directing the city engineer to provide notice of this ordinance to the Boise CUNA Irrigation District, the owners, and update the irrigation system map, and providing an effective date.
I move we waive three readings of ordinance 2019-41.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance number 2018-41. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve ordinance 2019-41.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2019-41. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardozo?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Ruben Wanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. We will not need to have an executive session tonight. Neither one of those things came to fruition. So, Mayor and Council announcements. What was it you were reminding me to say and I forgot already?
Chris? You never listened.
I never listened even though.
Just a reminder, the next council meeting is November 6th, which is a Wednesday after the election on Tuesday. And just FYI to everybody that we will have on-site voting next week, 23rd and 24th, I believe, are the dates. So it'll be here in the city parking lot. Cool.
And council.
Who else? Mm-hmm. Who's going to the thing tomorrow? And are we meeting here for carpooling?
Yes, that one's how you did. You wanted to run. You know, right? Mm-hmm. Were you going to go home?
I unfortunately can't. My kindergartners are going to teacher conferences I'm responsible for.
Okay.
What time are we meeting here?
Yeah, I'm going. It starts at 1. It takes about a half hour to get there. Do we want to?
They said it would go roughly maybe about 3 hours, right?
Is that 1 to 4?
It's 1 to 4, and then there's a separate thing from 5 to 7. That's like a listening session. The public's invited to.
Public's invited, yeah.
Yeah, mine's just going to close at 3:30. Dang it.
Kids. Bring your kids along. I'm the teacher.
I was going to say the teacher might not want to, but
I
can try. I can try.
You're a good baby shit.
So I'm good with whatever anybody else wants to do.
Should we meet at 12:15?
Yeah.
Plan to leave at 12:15? Like, yeah.
Okay.
12:15. We'll meet here at 12:15. Yeah. It starts at 1, so that'll give us a tiny buffer. Is it just the four of us?
Is it American to stop and buy hamburgers?
Is Lisa coming or anything? Do we need
you
two
were
cars?
Supposed to pick up.
Lisa's going. Okay, Lisa's going too.
Lisa is going.
And
Wendy?
Yes, Wendy's nodding. So we should have two cars?
Bob really, really wanted to go, but I wouldn't let him.
Aww. You can hide in my car.
You're driving your own.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that might be the case. Okay, so still just the four of us? Is anybody else from the city coming in?
I think, what, do elected officials smell bad or what?
Depends on the day. Okay, so it's just a four of us.
All right, 12:15.
All right.
There we go.
It's a date.
Fun.
I should have asked. Is everybody staying for the later thing, too, or no?
I don't think that I would enjoy that myself.
Okay, would it, just in case we need to take coming back? Darn. Yeah. I know, shucks. Okay.
Did you want to
so is that later thing a separate event?
Yeah, there's like an hour between the two, and the 1 to 4 one was invitation only.
Right.
So
what was the 5 to 7?
It's
that's what
the public facing one. So they're doing maybe a more abbreviated presentation. There's a pretty regimented agenda for it's like a 2-hour deal, and they've got it pretty. I think there's a chance for a public to speak at some point, but a lot of it is presenting.
Presenting what was discussed 1 to 4.
I think so.
Okay. I was just thinking maybe I could break away and get 2 to 5 to 7. But
yeah.
If it's in relation to the 1 to 4.
Take notes. Bring it back to us.
Okay. Excellent.
All right. Very good.
So candidate forum is like at 6:45, I think, on Thursday. Does that sound right? I should ask you. Does that sound right? I think that sounds right to me.
And Ramona and Mikey? You're all ready to go, and it's going to get pretty fiery.
Don't worry, we'll have the chief there for security.
All right. Well, that's all I have for tonight. I did want to mention, I did get a letter from a mother of a couple of children that seemed to be less than respectful to our police officers, thanking our police officers for their respect for their children and the way they've handled those situations. It was actually a letter to the Ada County Sheriff, Stephen Bartlett, and CC'd to me, but a CUNA resident. She was very appreciative of the way our officers handled kids. We kind of get the opposite of that, so. I appreciate our officers really do have a heart for the children. I just want to make sure that I let you know that we did get that letter, and always happy to see those. So, good work, Chief.
I have one more thing before we go off record. Bobby, did you go to the Ren Fair this weekend?
Mayor, council, I did not, but I drove past it quite a few times, and there looked like there's a lot of people there.
Did you? They have like an armored combat league that was very intense. Anyway, maybe there's an underground armored combat
fight club
circuit that's as big as pickleball. I don't know. It was intense.
My wife asked me what they do there, and I said they hit each other with sticks.
It's not sticks. There's like they were full on axes and stuff. Oh, they just like crash and oh my! It was. Somebody had to have been concussed, I swear.
They wanted to bring back jousting, but the grass fees would have been...
Issues. I'm sure lawyers would have had something to say about liability.
Too. And they couldn't figure out how to ride the pigs anyway. And yeah, with that, meeting adjourned.
Do you have executive? No, we didn't.